Welcome to the award-winning Texas Outdoor News. 60 minutes of news, interviews, hints, and insight into the great outdoors. Now your hosts, Harold Gunn and Bill Olson.
And a grand good morning to you. This is Harold Gunn, and I want to welcome you to Texas Outdoor News, okay? Today we're going to be bringing you outdoor news from throughout the state as well as the nation, along with the best bets for fishing, hunting, and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Texas. This is Bill Olson. Hope everybody's having a great weekend. Tell you what, these cool fronts that are coming through. Got my neck swelling, you know, rubbing up against trees and brush. So, you know, starting to feel that rut coming on.
Oh, boy.
And this is week three of our annual Waltz Across Texas.
This is the good stuff, friends.
Yeah, it really is. And we got, I mean, the whole state's got so much to talk about. But today we're going to be visiting with Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader Rusty Wood of Jasper over in the Piney Woods, folks.
Indeed.
Man, I tell you what, Piney Woods producing some good animals in recent years. And then we're going to go there to, you know, your bailiwick, Harold, up in Kerrville, Mike Miller, Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader based out of Kerrville, and catch up with what's going on in that district. Plus, we got a little bit of news. We're probably going to talk a little bit about the weather. And I'm going to give you some insight to what's going on with our game wardens.
Well, let me see. We have to talk about the weather, our procedures. And, you know, if, like, just like we're around a campfire.
Unfortunately, the conversation around the campfire has changed over the years.
It has.
The topics of conversation have certainly changed. No, we're not going to make you all endure that. But we are going to have some fun. So, y'all stick around and remember, you're listening to your reliable information source for the great outdoors, Texas Outdoor News.
Someone is stealing Texas wildlife, and the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department needs your help to stop it. Every time a poacher strikes, it is theft, pure and simple. Poaching also impairs your ability to enjoy your wildlife resources. Whether you hunt, fish, or just enjoy the wonders of Texas wildlife, now to many, there is nothing lower than a poacher, and we have a way to deal with it. It's called Operation Game Thief. Operation Game Thief was established in 1981 as a means for you to help Texas game wardens stop illegal hunting and fishing. A toll-free number is your link to Operation Game Thief. 1-800-792-GAME. That's 1-800-792-GAME. If a report results in apprehension and conviction, Operation Game Thief will pay rewards up to $1,000. Something else for you to know, Operation Game Thief is funded entirely by private donations. That means we need your tax-deductible financial support. To find out how to become a sponsoring member of Operation Game Thief or to report a hunting or fishing violation, call 1-800-792-GAME.
Hi, this is Harold Gunn, inviting you to join me and Wayne Cronin for the Automotive Reporter. For over 16 years, the country's most informative auto show. An hour of news, interviews, product reviews, and motorsports. We'll be testing the newest cars and trucks and bring you major guests from the automotive industry. Visit AutomotiveReporter.com for a list of our stations, play the latest programs, and more. Search for us on Stitcher Smart Radio, Facebook, and YouTube. And listen to us anywhere, anytime on your computer or smartphone. That's AutomotiveReporter.com.
Its ancestors won wars and explored continents. Its body and frame forged in heavy gate steel. This is the Roxor from Mahindra, a legendary off-road vehicle. With more than 70 years of hardcore heritage, a turbo diesel engine, and 5-speed manual transmission. All new, no mercy. Test drive yours today. Find a dealer at RoxorOffroad.com.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn. We do appreciate you making us a part of your weekend plans. And as we mentioned at the top of the program, cool fronts are becoming more frequent. They're rolling in. We're still running a little bit behind on the daytime average and nighttime lows.
Yeah, I have to bring this up because I know Bob is our producer. Audio Bob is chomping at the bit. What does the Farmer's Almanac say about this?
I don't know. I hadn't looked.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
I thought you read it daily.
No. I had something in my ear. What was it? What was that? Oh, no. No. You know, according to different sources, they're saying that we're going to have a colder and wetter winter. But we'll see.
We can handle it.
Yeah. What I think's really going to happen, based on looking at weather trends, and I'm no meteorologist, but it seems as though Indian summer is going to hang on a bit longer. And what concerns me, particularly on the coast, potentially, we've seen this happen in the past, is fish stay shallow. You know, they start to make their move, and then all of a sudden, whoom, here comes a really big, big cold front.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, blows water out of the bays, back lake areas, fish get trapped, and, you know, we have an issue. We've not had one in a while.
Okay.
Knock on wood, we don't have, you know, one again this year. But that's one of the downsides that we've seen in the past.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with you?
Well, Daytona Beach last week.
Yeah.
One of my Masonic groups, you know, is okay. For the children, as we know.
All right.
But just had a great time. I want to thank the folks to put on an absolutely wonderful event and stayed at this really nice Hilton right on the beach. driving along, and a buddy that was with me going, boy, there's a lot of swamp land here. I say, you think? in Florida? But, you know, it was a great event. I always enjoy the Orlando airport. Every other person in there has Mickey Mouse ears on.
Right.
You know, since that's the home of Disney World. But anyway, it was a great trip. We raised a bunch of money for kids. Our group generates dollars to transport the children to the Shrine hospitals.
Okay. All right.
Where the Shrine, of course, makes the money to treat the kids. So
sure.
A good bunch.
Outstanding. The Everglades of Florida certainly have a variety of critters,
mm-hmm.
non-native. You
oh,
know.
Boy. What did you see the python?
Yeah, the python.
Or
yeah.
Whichever it was that
right.
They got, the biggest one so far that they pulled out of there.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. He looked like he could even eat meat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
bet.
Looked like that one had a pretty big appetite. If you want to be, or if you want to potentially be,
uh-huh.
The best of the best, then you may want to apply for the 64th Texas Game Warden and State Park Police Cadet Class.
Ooh.
Applications are being accepted now through November 15. And truly, these are a unique breed of law enforcement, unlike no other. They've got such a vast array of responsibilities and enforcement abilities. And let me tell you what. You got to be 21 years of age, projected graduate date of May 2021 with a bachelor's degree from an accredited college or university. Applicants must undergo a preliminary interview, background investigation, and physical skills test focusing on agility and swimming. Persons interested in strengthening their swimming skills can contact the American Red Cross. But you're going to live at the Game Warden Training Center near Hamilton.
Ooh.
For the duration of the 30-week training period that will begin September 2020. And for more information, you can check the State Park Police or Game Warden career pages online or contact Texas Game Warden Kevin Malonson at malonson@tpwdtexas.texas.gov. Or I tell you what, here's what you can do, is call 1-800-792-1112. And ask them about how do I apply? How do I see if I'm qualified?
Well, and it's tough.
Yeah,
you know the training is so broad, it's just amazing.
Well, and then once you graduate, then they ship you to some part of the Lone Star State
uh-huh.
for enforcement, and then we get to read about what they do.
Then you make it in the Game Warden field notes.
Yes,
I just
yes.
happen to have some right here.
Okay.
I love this headline, Riding Shotgun.
Uh-huh.
An Abilene District Game Warden was patrolling in Throckmorton County when he observed a utility vehicle driving through the center of a failed wheat field. Upon entering the field, the warden saw two individuals on this vehicle. One of the individuals was sitting on a cooler on the front holding a shotgun. The warden observed the two hunters driving through the field and shooting at birds that were flushed by the utility vehicle. The warden made contact with the folks, and citations were issued for hunting from a motor vehicle. You can't do that.
No, you can't. And this one kind of irks me. Maverick County game wardens observed a group of dove hunters taking pictures of their dove at a roadside park, and they stopped to check the dove and found the group to be 60 doves over their limit for the weekend. The group explained that the two young boys with the group also shot a limit each day. After a brief conversation, the group finally admitted the boys only had a BB gun and didn't shoot 60 birds. Cases are pending.
Yeah, trying to blame it on the kids.
Yeah.
No, I got to blame it on daddy. Well, as long as we're talking about birds, here's one. An Atascosa County game warden responded to a call about hunters that were pelleting a house on an adjacent piece of property. While walking up to the hunters, the game warden noticed a pile of bird feathers. Upon further examination, he noticed five quail carcasses and numerous dead mourning doves. There were about 20 hunters, and of those 20, no one would admit to having killed the quail. The game warden inspected a cooler on the bed of the truck and found the quail breasts. The owner of the truck acknowledged possessing the quail and was cited for possessing freshly killed Bob White quail during a closed season. Why? You know, why? You think about that and go, guys, you know, that's why they have them. They're called seasons.
Yeah, not real smart.
That's stupid.
Absolutely.
Which you can't cure, by the way.
Yeah, you can't. Hey, we got a big show. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got our best bets. We've got the outdoor report. And yes, we're going to find out if Harold's been on or off the road.
Friends, you can now listen to Texas Outdoor News worldwide on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, PC, Mac, and more. On demand and on the go on your mobile phone with no syncing and no memory or storage waste. Downloading Stitcher is quick, easy, and free. Just go to TexasOutdoorNews.com and click on the Stitcher tab. In your app store, order Stitcher free, then listen anytime, anywhere on Stitcher.com.
America's best-selling truck, 42 years running, is Ford. These people work very hard every day to build the best trucks you need, the trucks with best-in-class payload and towing. But you're not going to see them celebrate these 42 years with a lot of fireworks and party hats, because it's not about them, it's about you. It's about building the trucks you depend on to get the job done. That's how they built them yesterday, that's how they build them today, and most importantly, that is how they will build them tomorrow. America's best-selling truck for 42 years, Ford's F-Series, built Ford tough, the best in Texas.
We're back with Texas Outdoor News, and this portion of the program is brought to you by Getaway Lodge in Port Mansfield, Texas. The complete package. Come one, come all. It's where outdoor enthusiasts relax at the premier fishing and hunting destination on the western Gulf Coast. Getaway Lodge is the easy way for friends or business groups to experience Port Mansfield. Guests don't worry about the details and can spend more quality time with their friends and customers. It's where anglers of all abilities are challenged and rewarded in pristine coastal waters filled with world-class fish. And during migratory bird seasons, camaraderie afield creates lifetime memories from days shooting dove and ducks. Getaway Lodge's friendly staff and experienced professional guides tend to your needs on the water or afield, while hearty home-cooked meals help bring an end to each day. Tell you what, folks, cast and blast time is underway with hunters shooting great, having some great dove shoots. Coming up, got the big duck season coming up in November. You need to call and make your reservation. Fishing absolutely off the chart. For booking information at Getaway Lodge, Port Mansfield, visit getawaypm.com or call 956-944-4000. That's 956-944-4000.
All right, checking the Texas Outdoors Journal, Fishing and Hunting Times this weekend. Saturday is rated as a good one. This Sunday and Monday are two of our three best days for the week. Tuesday's another good day. Wednesday slips to fair, with Thursday plunging to poor. Friday's another fair day. Next Saturday's a good one, with next Sunday another best day. This weekend, look for game to be most active from either side of the noon hour until late afternoon. On Monday and Tuesday, this major feeding period of the day will occur from early afternoon until the evening hours before sunset. On Wednesday and Thursday, game will be most active from mid-afternoon until the evening hours after sunset. On Friday, next Saturday, and Sunday, a major time shift occurs, with game beginning to feed well before sunrise, continuing to feed until mid-morning. This weekend, on Sunday, October the 27th, we're going to have a new moon. That's next week, eh? On the coast, this weekend and on Monday, there will be a double tide schedule of two high and two low tides each day. Tuesday has a three tide day with two high tides and just one low. Wednesday and Thursday will have a double tide schedule. Friday, a single tide schedule of one high and one low. Next Saturday has a single low tide as the only tide of the day. Next Sunday has that good old double tide schedule.
You're right. That is, actually, next Sunday. Yeah. And what was omitted for some reason was that on Monday, the 21st, Moon's going to enter its last quarter phase.
There we go.
So now we got it caught up. Okay?
Yeah.
On the coast, over at Calcasieu, tell you what, redfish are going absolutely nuts. Same thing in Sabine. The shrimp are being pushed out of the marsh with the north wind. Trinity Bay, redfish has been good on live mullet. In the marsh, flounder activity is increasing. West Galveston Bay, reds and flounder have been good in the back lake area on live shrimp. Freeport, redfish activity over oyster reefs and drains along the ICW have been good on live shrimp and mullet. East Matagorda Bay, speckled trout are good on plastics and shrimp. Port O'Connor, redfish are good on live shrimp. Out around the jetties and near shore, Spanish mackerel have been very good on sardines or cut bait. Port Aransas, trout have been good in the grass on shrimp and Kelly Wiggler's ball tail, as well as topwater baits. Baffin Bay, trout are good on popping corks with shrimp and gulp. Port Mansfield, redfish have been good on shrimp, as well as topwaters in the back bays and flats. Trout are good in 3 to 6 foot of water over grass on shrimp under a popping cork. South Padre, fishing's been excellent. The water's still high, but water clarity is slightly stained. Speckled trout bite is strong using lures with or without a popping cork. Port Isabel, the fall month producing a great bite for redfish and trout, mainly on soft plastics. Redfish have been good in the early morning, and need to watch for those redfish. Throw lures at those that bait schools moving through shallow grass beds.
Okay, into East Texas, Caddo. Largemouth bass are good on topwater baits till noon. They transition to plastic worms and spinnerbaits in the afternoon. On Conroe, largemouth bass are good on topwater poppers, buzz baits, and plastic worms. Catfish are good on baited areas from 8 to 25 feet of water on stinky bait and cut bait. Livingston, striped bass are good on spoons and rattle traps in open water. Sam Rayburn, largemouth bass are good on spinnerbaits, topwater and Carolina rig soft plastic worms. Crappie are good on minnows and jigs. Catfish are good with live bait and cut bait. Toledo Bend, sunfish are good on pellets, crickets, jigs. Channel and bluecats are good on live bait and stink bait. Athens, all catfish are good on cut bait and stink bait. Sunfish are good on earthworms around shallow vegetation. Bass drop. Largemouth bass are good on Carolina rig plastic worms and lizards, and you'll find them on edges of vegetation and creek beds with sharp drop-offs that have become more shallow in the past couple of days. Fayette, largemouth bass are great on buzz baits worked early and late in the day, and along the edge of vegetation, spinnerbaits and weedless worm rigs and grass are better along deeper channel edges. Palestine, largemouth bass are good on Carolina rig worms and crankbaits near the creek beds above the pipeline and moving to submerged edges. Hybrid stripers are good on minnows. White bass are good on slabs around the deeper water by the dam. Catfish are excellent on shad and chicken livers from dusk on through the night. Richland Chambers, white bass and hybrids are good on slabs and jigs using your fish finding equipment to identify schools of bait fish. Somerville, largemouth bass are good on plastic worms, baits, spinners, topwaters. They're moving without a consistent pattern currently. Catfish are good on stink bait, live bait, and cut bait. Stillhouse, fall has finally arrived in regards to fishing patterns. Largemouth are good on topwaters and with soft plastics. Tewakene, white bass and hybrid stripers are good on slabs, spoons, and Alabama rigs following bait fish. Texoma, largemouth bass are good on topwaters, Texas rig worms, and spinners. Striped bass are good on live shad. Whitney, black bass are good on plastic worms and crankbaits in 12 feet or less and are starting the fall pattern with longer feeding times in shallower water and topwaters, with topwaters. Catfish are good on live shad, stink bait, cut bait. Tyler, catfish are good on all stink baits and live baits below a cork. White bass are good on slabs. Hybrid stripers are good with rattle traps, following schools of bait fish with birds on the surface.
Heading to South Texas, out Del Rio way, largemouth bass are good on Amistad Reservoir on most tackle, topwater tackle, buzz bait, spinners, plastic grubs, and crankbaits fish near rocky edges or vegetation. Lake Corpus Christi, largemouth bass are good on Texas rig worms, Carolina rig, spinners, and crankbaits. Movement has continued to be consistent and best in the morning. Texana, largemouth bass are good on most reel baits, jigs, and Texas rig soft plastics. Submerged brush has been exceptional between 5 and 15 feet of water. Brownwood, Bass are good on crankbaits, jigs, spinnerbaits, and topwaters. White bass are good on slabs and school bait. Nighttime has been good for catfish. Alan Henry, bass are good on topwater, ratatat spoons, and crankbaits. Coleman, hybrid stripers continue to be good on live shad and other live baits, fast lures, and topwaters.
Remember, also, if you're thinking out there, what about my lake? It's because we only give you the good reports, okay, friends? In the Hill Country, Lake Austin, largemouth bass are good on topwaters, Carolina rigs in deeper water, and white spinners and grass beds along the shoreline. Bluegill are good on weighted jigs, cutworms, and corn. Big Lake, Buckhannon. Largemouth bass are good along the bank on topwater lures and lighter weight spinners. White bass are good on minnows and twisted tail jigs, schooling in 20 feet of water. Channel cats have been good on stink bait. Yellow blue catfish good on live bait or stink bait. Canyon. Largemouth bass are good on topwater, plastic worms, and crankbaits, adjusting to the habitat. Hybrid and striped bass are great on topwater baits, grubs, and jigging spoons. LBJ, crappie are good on weighted jigs and minnows. Catfish are good on stink bait and cut bait. Flathead catfish are good on live bait. Travis, crappie are good on minnows and weighted light-colored jigs.
On the hunting scene, the north dove season runs through November 12. Central dove season runs through November 7. And the south zone first split runs through November 3rd. Then we've got, of course, you archery hunters for Rio Grande turkey, whitetail, and mule deer. Season runs through November 1. Coming up next weekend, a bunch of youth-only season, the 26th through the 27th special whitetail-only deer season, as well as the early Rio Grande turkey season for youth. The 26th through the 27th is also a south zone duck youth-only season. High Plains Mallard Management season, their first split, yes, folks, it's only 2 days, is the 26th to the 27th. Sandhill Crane season in Zone A opens the 26th and runs through January 27. Snipe season statewide, October 26th through February 9. And finally, it's opening, quail season statewide, October 26th through February 23rd.
Very good.
All right, you've been on or off-road?
A bit of both. Not mudding, but that's the beauty of all-wheel drive, though. Still off. In the absolutely fabulously beautiful Alfa Romeo Stelvio TI Lusso all-wheel drive for 2019, style has always been up front with these vehicles anyway. Just great looking, whether it's moving or sitting still. It's just drop-dead gorgeous. But this is a high-performance SUV and really quite a value, which we'll get to that in a bit. But this one, luxury leather seating inside, the 2-liter turbocharged four-banger engine puts out 280 horsepower. This thing will top at 144 miles an hour. Made it to an 8-speed automatic transmission. Remote keyless entry, push-button start, remote start system, stop-start system. That's to help with the gas mileage. The Alpha DNA drive mode system. Carbon fiber drive shaft. That's a weight thing, what we call unsprung weight, to help this vehicle out. Heated washer nozzles. Power lift gate with remote. Heated steering wheel, heated front seats, heated back seats, power six-way driver, power six-way passenger. I mean, comfortable, really, really comfortable. Part of their package, satin aluminum window surround moldings, aluminum roof rails, luxury leather seating, blind spot monitoring, auto dimming, and more. The vehicle, 22 miles per gallon in the city, 28 on the highway. Base price, and this is extremely reasonable, really, is $44,000. This thing loaded to the gills was $56,000. Check these out. It's a fabulously beautiful vehicle. The 2019 model year Alfa Romeo Stelvio TI Lusso all-wheel drive.
When we come back from this break, we're heading to Jasper, Texas. We're going to talk Piney Woods hunting with Rusty Wood right after this.
This is Morgan Freeman, executive producer of the documentary film The C Word, and I'm here to tell you that defeating cancer takes breakthroughs. A breakthrough is the start of something extraordinary. To be breakthrough is to be brave. Many small breakthroughs can lead inevitably to a big breakthrough, the kinds of breakthroughs that advance the fight against cancer, the ones that save lives by the millions. You are the breakthrough. You, the patients taking part in clinical trials. You, the scientists doing next-level research to beat cancer.
You, the doctors and nurses who tirelessly care for everyone along the way. Let's be the breakthrough.
To learn about screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you, go to standuptocancer.org/breakthrough. Stand Up to Cancer is a program of the Entertainment Industry Foundation. Please talk to your healthcare provider about appropriate screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you.
Hunting seasons are upon us, and finding up-to-date information and tips are important to hunters. Texas Outdoors Journal is just that source of quality information. From proven saloonier tables to experts that have etched their names in the record books, Texas Outdoors Journal is on target for hunters. The same is true about Texas Outdoors Journal fishing coverage. Whether you fish on the coast or one of our inland lakes, timely forecast information and tips from the pros set Texas Outdoors Journal apart from the rest. These are just a couple of reasons why Texas Outdoors Journal has been named one of the top outdoor publications in Texas. Prove it to yourself by picking up a copy of Texas Outdoors Journal at your local newsstand, or better yet, subscribe and save 60% off the cover price. To subscribe using a major credit card, call 1-800-222-4TOJ. That's 1-800-222-4865, or subscribe securely online at texasoutdoorsjournal.com.
We're back with Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn, and this portion of the program is brought to you by Fortified Cottonseed, a partnership forged between Texas families that have been in the agricultural and ranching industry for several decades. Fortified Cottonseed is formulated with vitamins and minerals. Fortified Cottonseed's Red Blend is a naturally high source of protein for deer, elk, exotics, cattle, and is safe for sheep and goats. It optimizes antler growth while its fat content meets energy demands for maintaining body condition and milk production, with the advantage of limited intake. Fortified Cottonseed with vitamins and minerals Yellow Blend is specially formulated for white-tailed deer and should not be fed to sheep or goats. The white-tailed blend is off the chart in fat, fiber, and protein. It's the most efficient and cost-effective way to feed white-tailed deer and wildlife. Everyone knows the photo period of the day is shortening. Mm-hmm. Temperatures are cooling down. That means fall forbs, the growth is going to be pretty minimal as we move forward. So make sure that you get the cottonseed out and available for the deer herd. It's going to help those bucks overcome the rigors of the rut. It's going to help the mama deer, the doe, once they're carrying fawn, and once they drop them and start lactating. For more information on Fortified Cottonseed blends, visit fortifiedcottonseed.com or call 806-839-2122. That's 806-839-2122. And I tell you what, top of the program, we talked about how East Texas is really come on strong, producing some great hunting opportunities down in the bottom areas. Some big old bucks are coming out of there. And Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader Rusty Wood is joining us. Rusty, welcome back to Texas Outdoor News. How you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Thank you, sir.
All right, got to ask you, y'all have been wet in the past. Did Imelda impact your district, or was it kind of on the south end where it got most of the rain?
That was more on the south end. You know, our district doesn't quite go down as far as the rain was. That was mostly in District 7.
Okay.
The brunt of that. Winnie and Hampshire down in that area. Maybe some localized flooding in the far south end of Newton County, but we did all right in Imelda.
Okay. All right. Well, coming out of last hunting season, what shape was the district in when those bucks started growing antlers in the spring?
We had a mild winter last year, and yep. Then we had a lot of rainfall, so the range was in really good shape. We had a lot of mass last year, so the bucks were in really good shape coming on into the late rut and rut recovery.
Did you all have any problems once the does hit the ground? I mean, with the cover, I'm assuming then you had a pretty good fawn survival, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. We had very good fawn survival. Early in the year, we saw lots and lots of twins when we were out doing site visits and looking around at different properties and visiting with landowners. And then as summer progressed and we got into our regulatory spotlight lines that we do every year, still lots and lots of fawns recorded on those observations. So, yeah, I think that we had a lot of good recruitment into the herd.
Yeah, Rusty, you mentioned the mass crop last year. How are we doing this year?
I tell you what, Errol, it's as good as I've ever seen it. There's acorns on just about every tree I look at, hickory nuts as well, so a lot of hard mass and soft mass as well. I know you're a squirrel hunter, so it should be a banner year. I knew that was coming up.
Absolutely right. Yeah, well, plus that thing, if people have the opportunity with that mass crop like that, if they have the opportunity safely, get out of the stand and get out there amongst them. And that's the way, I learned to hunt. I love to be able to get out there and still hunt.
Well, you're right. And for somebody that's used to sitting in a box stand and guarding a corn feeder, it may be a tough year when those acres start to drop. I haven't seen a bunch of them on the ground just yet, but I know it's coming.
Yeah, that's coming with the rainfall that you did have. And I know that there's an adjustment on some of our reservoirs as repairs are being made to some of the dams. What shape are our back sloughs, creeks, bottoms as we're looking for ducks and waterfowl? What shape are those in?
Well, we're in pretty good shape. Like you said, Imelda came through, and we didn't get a ton of flooding, but we did get some nice rains to sort of improve our ground moisture, so we should be able to catch and hold just about anything that comes through. Some of our WMAs are starting to flood their wetland cells, so there's good moisture out there. There should be plenty of water.
On the eastern turkey in your district, are y'all still trying to put together co-ops, and are y'all still working trying to reestablish eastern turkey?
We are. We're still plodding along. It's a slow process, but we're still working to gather up some co-ops of 10,000 acres and more in certain focal areas, largely scattered on the river corridors. But, we're still making some progress with that, and the ones that we have are holding their own.
Okay. Have heard some reports, and I don't know that I even asked you about this for the report in Texas Outdoors Journal, but black bear this year, I knew that there had been some reports in past years in Newton County and in an area. Y'all seeing many sightings in the past year?
I don't know that we had anything on the south end that was confirmed, but on the north end of the district up around Lake Wright Patman, we had a couple of confirmed sightings up in that area this
okay.
year. Sure did. We had at least two separate bears and maybe three.
And surely, Rusty, there's a healthy pig population.
yeah, no doubt. Just like all other years, I just got a call this morning from a neighborhood that was overrun by them and looking for some solutions.
yeah, that's our challenge, that's for sure. All right, hey, listen, short time, lots of information. We appreciate you joining us. We need to head to another break. So our first guest has been Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader Rusty Wood from Jasper. Rusty, we appreciate you, man.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
Fine. Take care, Rusty. Friends, we'll be back with more Texas Outdoor News right after this.
You're listening to the state's most honored outdoor radio show, Texas Outdoor News.
I am Tracy Claypack. Jeff and I have been farming for about 38 years. Our boys came in to farm with us in 06, and Capital Farm Credit was able to work with us and help us. My husband and boys are farming land that they have farmed for the last four generations. Capital Farm Credit has been there for us. They actually know what farmers need. Our future plans are to continue working with Capital Farm Credit and make our future better.
Together, we're better. Find out why at CapitalFarmCredit.com.
Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 493828.
Built on a heavy-duty box steel frame, but not built for the road. Because driving it on anything, even remotely flat, would be a waste of diesel. This is the Roxor from Mahindra, a legendary off-road vehicle with more than 70 years of hardcore heritage. All new, no mercy. The Roxor from Mahindra. Test drive yours today. Find a dealer at RoxorOffroad.com.
We continue our annual waltz across Texas, and from Jasper, Texas, we head to beautiful Kerrville and the Texas Hill Country. Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader Mike Miller joins us. Mike, welcome back to Texas Outdoor News. How you doing, sir?
Hey, doing well. Good morning, Bill.
Listen, coming out of last hunting season, we'll start there. What kind of harvest did y'all have, and what kind of rains did we have in the spring to get bucks off when they started growing antlers again?
Yeah, I mean, we had good rainfall this past winter and spring, all the way through early summer before things turned off around the 4th of July. I think harvest last year was really a little below what was expected, so we have pretty good carryover of bucks from last year going into this year.
Yeah, Mike, this is Harold. I've got to confirm that because I've got a place in Mason County, And about 3 months this year, I couldn't get across my creek, which is seasonal. But, you know, I mean, the first time across it, I sunk my my off-road vehicle to, you know, the floorboard and went, oops. I mean, it's been great. And when I was up there last, about 3 weeks ago, of course, the mass crop, just amazing. And it's got to be that way through the whole district, right?
Yeah, it's really good. Acorn production has been real good. And by the way, you don't have any trouble getting out to your place right now, I don't think.
All right, guys, with the weather we've had, mass crop, Mike, what are the fall forbs? We're kind of at the tail end of that growing season, or with the warmer weather, are we still seeing some things coming up?
Yeah, it's pretty spotty across the district, but overall, we've been below what we normally see in rainfall for summer, late summer and fall, especially fall, at least in this most of the hill country. We've had below average rainfall, so that's probably cut us back a little bit on forb production. But again, as things dry out, it kind of sets this acorn drop in motion. So we had our early acorn drop, so there's plenty of that available.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. With the moisture that you had in the spring then and cover, what kind of fawn survival are you all projecting?
That's a good question. You know, it's been kind of low for a few years, but this year was an exception. We were above average on fawn crop. You know, I haven't seen the final numbers yet, but just from talking to our biologists, they were running all those surveys out there in August and September. It's definitely higher than it's been in several years.
Okay. Mike, because
more deer need to be harvested, right?
Yep. Sorry, Mike, I was interrupting. Because of your area and those things that get loose, I mean, it's like we saw at my place this last trip a red deer, and I'm going, huh? Couldn't even figure out where that came from. Axis always seemed to be the prevalent. What are axis doing to the habitat? And obviously, they're competing with the whitetails, right?
They are. You know, they have a lot of impact on these riparian zones, these low-lying areas along the rivers and streams, especially along the Llano River, Guadalupe River, and Pedernales, too, up there going through Gillespie County.
Well, it just goes back to balancing the herd with the carrying capacity of the rangeland, and that includes all critters, domestic, wildlife, exotics, right?
Yeah, that's true. You know, I mean, probably the number one competitor with another white-tailed deer is another white-tailed deer, right? But axis deer are right behind. I mean, there's almost complete dietary overlap there between axis deer and white-tailed deer.
All right. Before we leave deer and talk about ground nesting birds and other critters in your district, let's talk about what I referred to as like the coal sore that shows up every so often in the hill country. Yeah. Anthrax.
Oh.
Yeah. Had an outbreak. Why don't you describe a little bit, because you described it kind of as the perfect storm. What ingredients triggers an anthrax outbreak, Mike?
Well, anthrax is a bacterial infection, but really, high rainfall in this country, out west here, western Edwards Plateau, high rainfall sort of, I guess, cocks a hammer, so to speak. And then as we get drying conditions in the summer and we start experiencing drought-like conditions, that's what pulls the trigger. And that seems to be what sets us off ever so often when we experience those conditions.
How any estimation, I mean, a lot of landowners really clam up, you know, and don't talk about it. But any indication as to how severe this year's impact of anthrax was?
Well, from speaking to locals, visiting with locals at a series of public meetings, and talking to some of our biologists that have been out here for quite some time, this is probably the worst case. Well, it is the worst case we've seen since 2001.
Mm.
So we've gone, I mean, anthrax pops up in some area in that endemic zone. Every few years, you know, there are a few spots, but this year it's pretty widespread over southwestern Sutton, southeastern Crockett, northern half of Alverde, and then over into Edwards County and a few other spots too.
Yeah, Mike, what does the hunter look for? Can I tell anything by, you know, a deer on, you know, vertical walking around, or do I look for something if I drop one and I go, oops, which obviously it needs to be reported to you guys. I mean, what are some of the indicators for people out there in the field?
Yeah, so unlike some diseases, this one occurs rapidly. By the time a deer comes into contact or gets an infectious dose of anthrax, they rarely make it even 7 days before they drop dead. So that's good and bad. It's bad for the deer population, but it's good in that that probably minimizes contact as far as human contact with the disease, because it moves so quickly, and we're entering into a period here that's we've cooled off pretty rapidly, gotten a little more rainfall here, and we think we're at the end of it. So while it could have affected archery hunters, I don't think we all agree that really by the time the general season opens, we don't think there's any risk or very little risk to hunters that are out there, because there's really nothing you can't really detect that in a deer. I mean, you can't really see anything. It happens so quickly that it's not really affecting body weight. From talking to landowners, man, a deer can be walking and then just drop dead. Basically they die of cardiac arrest in these situations. So.
And there's nothing that the landowner can do to prevent or help the deer overcome that, right?
There's really nothing practical. Now, A&M's working on an oral vaccine. It may show some promise, but we're years away from that.
Sure. Yeah, how is it transmitted?
So, it lives for years and years and years in the soil in a spore form as we dry off and turn into drought conditions. But then as you get a rainfall, it tends to multiply as temperatures begin to warm. And it's in the soil. It can be in the plants. And as we all know about deer, I mean, they're finicky eaters, nose to the ground, eating little dinky forbs. It really puts them at, you know, a high risk of exposure the way they forage.
Sure. Well, you've got, you talk about the spores of anthrax, and then in areas where CWD comes in, the prion, that's what raises a kind of a red flag for everybody, is it seems like it's somewhat similar in that the CWD prions you can't get rid of, right?
Yeah, no, there's not practically
right.
that I'm aware of. That's right.
Right. Okay. All right. From talking about our white-tailed deer herd, let's move to ground nesting birds. Turkey, what kind of poll hatch did you have on Rio Grande turkey in your district?
Yeah, things have been pretty low around here since about 2015, but this has been the first year we've gotten excited in a while. We have good recruitment. More poults observed probably since that 2014-2015 period. So we have as far as the forecast for the hunters out there, we're going to have we should have a lot of birds out there, but it's going to be a fairly young flock in most cases. When we trapped and leg banded birds last winter, most of them were adults. So this recruitment of poults into the population should put a lot of first-year birds in the flocks this year.
All right. I know that y'all don't have a lot of bobwhite quail in the district, but out in the western part, you do have some birds. How did they fare?
We were very hopeful about that, but our counts this summer were below the long-term average. They're about like they were last year. Anecdotally, we've heard good things about scale quail and seen a lot of birds, but it didn't really show on our surveys. So that seems to be the one bright spot, is that scale quail numbers are more than likely up in some areas out west. But our bobwhites seem to be kind of just hanging in there this year.
Did the scale quail make up the majority of the quail population out west then, as opposed to bobs?
No, man, there's overlap. There really is overlap in their range, even where they occur in this district. As you move west, west of the Western Plateau, things change. But no, usually you find bobwhites and scaled quail sharing or nearly sharing the same range in the western part of the plateau.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I guess the predominant message is as we hit leave bow season and head into the general season, take the surplus mouths off the rangeland early, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Very good, Mike. Listen, we appreciate you joining us on Texas Outdoor News. Be safe out there.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Friends, we'll be back with more Texas Outdoor News right after this.
At Jeep Adventure Days, you'll be ready to take on any forecast head on. And while some hide from the weather, you'll play surrounded by luxury in the Jeep Grand Cherokee. While others run away from the elements, you'll run toward them in the remarkably efficient Jeep Cherokee. While others see the weather as a foe, you'll see it as a friend in Jeep Compass, with over 70 standard and available safety and security features. And while others seek shelter, you'll find yourself right where you want to be, with nothing, not even a roof, standing between you and the weather, with the open-air freedom of Jeep Wrangler or Jeep Gladiator. Hurry in to Jeep Adventure Days for great deals on the most legendary SUV lineup. Jeep. When it rains, we shine. Jeep is a registered trademark.
Never fight if you can avoid it. But when you must fight, don't lose. And when nothing less than freedom is at stake, we fight. We're millions of people just like you. We're the longest standing civil rights organization in the U.S. Proud defenders of history's patriots. Protectors of the Second Amendment. Advocating the right to keep and bear arms. Advancing the shooting sports. Championing gun safety, education, and training. Creating a vital legacy by answering freedom's call. And we're growing stronger every day. We are the NRA, and the NRA is you. Join forces with the 5 million men and women of the NRA and make a stand for freedom today. Sign up now at joinnra.com.
It is time for the Outdoor Calendar on Texas Outdoor News. Harold, looks like a busy one.
Indeed it is. I'll take a deep breath here. Boy, I love these new websites. So October 22nd, Palestine Chapter Ducks Unlimited fundraiser in Palestine. Go to ducks.org. 24th, Dallas Chapter Ducks Unlimited fundraising banquet in Dallas. Ducks.org. October 24th, Permian Basin Chapter of the Mule Deer Foundation fundraising banquet in Odessa. MuleDeer.org. They are all getting their act together. October 26th, Cottonwood Creek Chapter National Wild Turkey Federation fundraiser in Frisco. NWTF.org. October 26th, the 11th Annual West Bay Redfish Showdown and Fundraiser at the West End Marina in Galveston. Annual two-man team tournament and fundraising benefiting the Shriners Hospital for Children. Get out there, friends. Live weigh-in, live music, auction, raffle, door prizes, food and drink, more. For information, go to fishwestend.com and go to one of those great events in your brand new Ford truck.
Built Ford Tough. It's synonymous with the rugged capability, outstanding performance, and dependability of Ford trucks. Whether it's hauling a big load, getting you to a job site, hunting ranch, favorite lake, or the coast, count on the lineup of versatile Ford trucks to work overtime to get the job done. The 2018 F-150 body is up to 700 pounds lighter than the previous generation. Made of high-strength, military-grade 6000 series aluminum alloy used in big military and industrial applications. Plus, its fully boxed frame is made of up to 78% high-strength steel. The F-150 has its most advanced powertrain lineup ever, like best-in-class torque, payload, plus towing, and that's just the beginning of F-150 best-in-class features. The Ford F-150 is Motor Trend's 2018 Truck of the Year, and once again named the Truck of Texas. It's the number one selling truck for 41 years running. So do yourself a favor and stop by one of the 275 best-in-Texas Ford dealers and find out for yourself what Built Ford Tough really means.
This is Harold reminding you that it's time to get those fields and food plots planted. And the products you need come from Plot Spike Seed. I use Plot Spike at my place, and the deer love it. Now's the time to plant Plot Spike forage oats, especially blended for forage. These oats produce an extremely high yield and a long growing season. Plot Spike forage oats can be planted in September for great grazing early in the season, and since they're more cold tolerant than other varieties, they usually last through the entire hunting season. University tests show Plotzbach forage oats are capable of producing over 10,000 pounds of nutritious forage per acre. And that's a lot of deer chow. Plotzbach forage oats and their other wildlife management products are available at feed and sporting goods stores and at Tractor Supply. You can learn about their full lineup of year-round products and order online at plotzbach.com. Pure, premium, proven Plotzbach.
Plotzbach is available at Tractor Supply.
Want to thank our guest, Mike Miller and Rusty Wood, for joining us today. Next week, we wrap up our four-week waltz across Texas. And Harold, we got some big country we're going to cover next week.
Where are we going?
Well, we're going to go to Canyon, where Brad Simpson, Texas Parks and Wildlife District leader, is up there and looking at what's going on in the Panhandle.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to head down south to Pleasanton, where David Veal, another one of those that's getting a little long in the tooth.
Oh, yeah, they appreciate that introduction so much. All right,
And we're going to talk about what's going on in the South Texas brush country. So it's going to be a big show.
You know, Panhandle used to be near Canada.
Yeah.
It's not that far right now, anyway.
Yeah.
Between Amarillo and Canada, is there anything in the way? Not really. You know, when that wind comes down, it's cold up there.
Absolutely.
Tell you what, friends, do check our website out, all right? TexasOutdoorNews.com, because there's a list of all of our wonderful affiliate stations, and we're adding more. Thank you, Texas and Louisiana. Also, what did they say? Well, the shows are archived, so click on Listen to Our Show, and everything I think we've ever done is there. You know, by date, and the guests are listed and so on, so you can pick up that great information. But you can also catch the shows on Stitcher Smart Radio, iHeartRadio, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and like us on all those places also, because that kind of multiplies the folks that can listen in, and we greatly, greatly appreciate that. We want you to remember, of course, that we are brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. I think I'd like to remind everybody, too, this is our 27th year.
Yes.
We've been on quite a while, friends, and we plan on being on a whole lot longer. So be safe out there so you can join us again next week, same time, same station, for more Texas Outdoor News.